Right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening now to the Radio Laurier news show with your hosts, Aaron Hagee and
Garrison Osterhoff.
For those of you who may not know what we do, and shame on you if you don't, if you're just tuning into us for the first time, Radio Laurier news show is a weekly show between 7 and 8 o'clock where we go over some of the important events and individuals and things that might have happened in the past week or so, and we take a lot of that inspiration from our sister publication, The Cord. We're going to be talking about some pretty interesting stuff, so you're going to want to make sure you stick around. Up on the docket today, we're going to be discussing the Laurier Library Makerspace. TEDx came to WLU to discuss innovation. We're going to be discussing part two of Safina Hussein's board of directors story in The Cord. We're going to be discussing mental health and wellness in the first aid pass kits distributed to UW students this year. We're going to be talking some of the best smoothie options in KW, talking about the Emmys this year, getting to know our Laurier mascot Midas, as well as our second consecutive loss in a row to McMaster. So stay tuned for that. We're going to be moving right into our story in one brief second. How you doing this week, Garrison?
Doing pretty good. I feel like I'm finally in the rhythm. I wrote down all my due dates, which is always a crucial part.
Oh, that's always... It feels like it's such an endeavor sometimes.
Mm-hmm. You have to go right through the whole syllabus. Yeah. You have to make sure you don't miss anything, because there's always those weekly assignments mm-hmm. and things that are due. Like, just this little things that you got to be on top of. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm ready to go. I know where the big dates are ahead of me, and I know what to do for each week. Finally settling in. Took me a long time.
I agree.
It's almost October already.
It's almost October. It's blown by. A month already. It's crazy. And I guarantee October's going to blow right by, too, because that's when I know a lot of people having their midterms. They're mm-hmm. having their...
And one of the weeks is canceled. Because it's reading.
And one of the weeks is canceled, so it's already like a quarter done.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
It's even scarier, because we're in our upper years now. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, we're getting
next?
Into our upper years. It's kind of scary thinking mm-hmm. about what's next.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you, like us, are worried about thinking about the future, why don't you tune in? Because we're going to be talking mental health and wellness.
Future
technology, rejuvenating yourself, mind, body, and soul, and hopefully thinking about something a little bit better, a little bit more optimistic. So why don't we get right into it? Let's talk about our top story of the hour, discussing the Laurier Library's new makerspace. Now, what are we talking about? This year, Laurier is implementing what they call a makerspace. Now, for any of you who do not know, a makerspace is a facility that encourages students to engage in hands-on learning and create something with equipment and materials, whatever is around or available to them. It's described more generally as a collaborative workspace for making, learning, exploring, and sharing that uses high-tech or no-tech tools. They often have stuff like 3D printers, laser cutters, CNC machines, which are computer numerical control. They're kind of just like really fine-tuned cutting, precision drilling machines, stuff like that. Soldering irons, sewing machines. So this week, The Cord got the chance to speak with Darren White, who's one of the Makerspace's primary coordinators, and get his thoughts about maker culture. Now, for those of you who might be new to the term maker culture, or who might have heard it but don't exactly know what it is, don't really know exactly what it's all about, maker culture is essentially just a recent kind of contemporary subculture that has focused on do-it-yourself culture. So do-it-yourself culture referring to people doing or making things for themselves. Music, art, creative things. For example, welding. I know a lot of people are into welding stuff.
Mm-hmm. And this story talked about soldering, right?
Yeah, soldering.
Spelled S-O-L-D-E-R. If you get confused while you're reading, it's...
Soldering.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no. Soldering is one of those really weird words.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, now, the man they got to speak to, Darren White, he is also the library's communications and cultural programming assistant, and he is a self-identified participant in this maker culture. He also helped create Quartz Lab. If you've seen it, it's another makerspace in the community back in 2009, and he helped to found an event that's called Maker Expo. Now, if any of you have heard the term Maker Fair, might have heard it floating around the internet once in a while, Maker Fair is one of these maker culture events. It's a family-friendly showcase of invention and creativity that gathers together tech enthusiasts, crafters, educators, tinkerers, hobbyists, you know, pretty much anyone who's interested in making something with their hands. And that's pretty much all maker culture is about. It's about creating something that you can be proud of, something that you can put your name on, or maybe just doing something to pass the time. You know, just do something to say that you could. Now, in talking with Mr. White, one of the things he really wanted to focus on is the idea that he wanted to get people working on stuff that is just beyond the two-dimensional world. Now, that's definitely something I think I can get behind. I think it's something you can get behind as well, Garrison. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to think about doing stuff. It's very easy to say, oh man, I wish I could do X, Y, Z. I wish I could, you know, for anything really.
And it's fading more and more in our in our society, where we are separated increasingly from the ability to repair,
of course,
our cars, our cell phones. Everything we use is is out of our control, and that's so different from 5 years ago even. Very, very different.
Yeah, no, in an age where everything is made for us, it's increasingly difficult to make things and be proud of making things for ourselves. Now, with regards to the makerspace at Laurier, one of the first tools that they got for this space is a sewing machine. And when you think of sewing machines, you don't really link it to technology, but in reality, in actuality, it really is one of the most diverse and vibrant making tools. And people don't often think about that. It's something that we use every day.
Rich history there.
It's got a rich history. And that's kind of the idea behind the Maker Studio, is, you know, giving people the education and the tools to do things that they can use later, things that they can use in their everyday life. And it's not something people tend to think about a whole lot. And one of the students, we got a chance to talk to them as well. They described the facility as an incubator of creation, which I think is a very eloquent way to describe the whole operation.
What is incubator?
It's like a catalyst, you know?
Okay,
it
yeah.
gives people the
sparks
chance.
Sparks a reaction.
It sparks a reaction. It gives them the opportunity to make things for themselves, which I think is really great.
I think where exactly is Makerspace? Because if I'm walking through the front doors of the library, is it that space directly to the left of the front desk?
It is.
And left to,
If you see that little glass walled off area, that is where they have the makerspace. And it is kind of easy to miss, because actually last time I went in the library, I went looking for it.
Well, the elevators are to the right. So,
the elevators, usually just go to the right.
Do you need to book an appointment every time, or is it possible just to walk in and see what's there?
You are absolutely, you're able to walk in. Every Monday they have a drop-in between 1 and 4:30 p.m. You can just go in. You can.
So not at all times?
Just not at all times. It's specified. I assume that's because that's when the coordinator, one of the coordinators is able to be there, so you can make sure, you know, everybody's being safe when they do it, or if they have any questions, you can answer. And obviously, he's not available at all times. He's probably a very busy man.
Okay,
But it's something that's incredibly easy to access. Any Laurier student can do it. They can do it any Monday, and they can go make anything, anything that they want. I think that's incredible that Laurier is offering us the freedom to be able to do that. It's really incredible.
That inspires me for sure. I had in my comm class, first year comm, media history, the professor brought in a huge slab of modeling clay, and she used it as an example for early tokens that were used in the early civilization economics. But she gave a little piece of everybody of the clay to everybody. And later I went back up and asked if I could have some more, because it was so cool. I know that with this clay, you can model it into whatever you want it to be. And you can also, probably not any oven, that's probably me being ridiculous, but you can fire it, you can make it into something. And that potential was very inspiring. And it was very cool to have that available to me. So hearing about this space is a step further. I mean, there's 3D printers there and everything. It's very exciting.
I like how you described it. It's about the potential, right? There's a lot of potential there. And even our own president, Deb McClatchy, came in to use the 3D printer. So it kind of just goes to show anybody, if they've got an idea, or even if they don't want to, they don't specifically have an idea, they just want to do something, but they don't exactly know what it might be. It's a great opportunity to do something. And I know they've done a partnership, Indigenous Student Center, for a drum making workshop in the past. And in the future, they have an event called Rock Your Mocs in November. I'm assuming that has to do with making moccasins, but I'm not quite sure. And from what I know, the makerspace is not currently being funded by Laurier. So that being said, that it kind of just goes to show that's been a great initiative from the people who are running it. I mean, if they are doing it out of their own pocket, if they are doing it with very minimal or no funding, then really kudos to them for trying to get our students kind of sparked and inspired. And yeah, I really hope that's something that some of you choose to tune into. And I think if you've got anything else, Garrison?
Well, I really liked from the article, this, I think that you quoted him, where you said, face for people, and he said people, he wants people to say, ah, I've found my people, which is a really cool space that I think, I know Laurier isn't funding it, but perhaps should. If we look at all the clubs and teams that are available for students here at Laurier, and then I think about the publication here at Wolusip, I think I've found my people. I found a place where I feel very comfortable and enabled. And to hear that response about this space is, yeah, it's a very good sign for Laurier as a whole and for this organization going forward.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely wonderful. It's about it. I definitely agree when you say it's about finding your people.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, it's one of the reasons why I love maker culture. One of my favorite quote unquote makers, I would have to say, is Adam Savage. For those of you who might not know, Adam Savage is MythBusters still on? I don't know.
I don't think it is anymore.
Okay, well, if you ever tune in to MythBusters on the Discovery Channel, Adam Savage was one of the hosts. He's self-proclaimed lover of maker culture and self-proclaimed lover of cosplay as well. He's an absolutely wonderful individual and he's very down to earth. And for our segments today, to divide them up, normally we have a little bit of a section of music to soothe your soul. But this week, we are going to be combining a couple of the things we're going to be talking about today, and we're going to be playing one of his TED Talks. So for those of you who are going to be listening to this later online, I really encourage you to check out Adam Savage's My Love Letter to Cosplay. But for those of you who are listening live, we're going to be listening to that right now before we segue into our next segment. So we'll talk to you soon. I think instead we're just going to be moving right into our next topic. I apologize for that. Hopefully we can get that. But we now are going to be talking about TEDx comes to Waterloo. If you missed it, TED, the nonprofit organization devoted to spreading ideas in the form of short, powerful talks, usually less than 18 minutes or so, they recently came to Wilfrid Laurier. Some of the students organized an event in the form of a TEDx, which is separate from a traditional TED talk. It's organized by the community, so anybody can do it. And if you missed it, they were here on Friday, September the 21st. Now, if you don't know much about TED, they describe themselves as being global community, welcoming people from every discipline and culture who seek a deeper understanding of the world. They believe passionately in the power of ideas to change attitudes, lives, and ultimately the world. And I think that's a very powerful and motivating idea. It's something I used to have an absolute love for TED Talks when I was in high school. I think that was when they started really getting big and really flourishing as a company. I remember listening to TED Talks all the time. It was something that I always found so inspiring because these people, they were so eloquent and they were able to communicate such apt ideas to people in such a short amount of time. And I always found it very incredible, the amount of passion that people spoke with about important ideas. And they were always so intelligent and witty and clever, and it was something that I always connected very deeply to. Now,
it was a great business model as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just looked back into the history a little bit on their website. 1984. That's a long time. And originally it started with technology, entertainment, and design, which is a very, very powerful industry and a topic to be considering because people want to hear about that stuff. That's usually where the cutting edge is located. When people say something is cutting edge, it's usually in the technology, entertainment, and design industry.
Mm-hmm.
In one of the first TED Talks, I believe they were talking about some of the filmmaking practices that George Lucas was using. And so that's the entertainment sector, but there it's mixed with science and it's mixed with business and technology. So it's just like a hotbed. It's a very... It was bound to be successful because of the amazing place that it focused its information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure. Now, this year's conference was obviously at the Waterloo Laurier campus, and they were discussing innovation, which I think it's a bit broad. But it's vague, but it gives a lot of opportunity. Kind of like the makerspace we were talking about.
Mm.
And the event, it was entirely organized by students. The lead coordinator this year was Sulai Shah, if I'm pronouncing your name right. I apologize if I'm not. He's a third-year BBA computer science student. So he's just one of us, and he organized this event. So kudos to him and the students who were able to get all these very important individuals together to speak to us. Now, they wanted, obviously, they wanted to provide students with an opportunity to, you know, connect and hear the thoughts of some successful entrepreneurs, innovators, motivators. And there were 9 guest speakers this year, including Mr. Shah. I am so sorry if I butchered these names. There was Swish Goswami, who is the CEO of TrueFan, which is a mobile app and web platform that helps influencers, brands, and agency discover and reward top fans. And just hearing about this company, I think that's a great idea. So I'm sure getting the chance to hear his stories of success and his thoughts on innovation were quite a benefit. There was Martin Basiri, who was the CEO of ApplyBoard, which is all-in-one online educational platform. It's kind of where you can get high school, post-secondary, and postgraduate studies done. and I think helps get people the next section of education as well. Keith MacGives Diaz, also known as the Modern Monk, gave his talks. Kalina Miletic, who is the founder of Kickstart Your Work. Shahini Gose, who is a professor of physics and computer science at Laurier, and who is the faculty advisor of Women in Science. There was June Neep, who is a professional consultant and VP of marketing at Lenbrook. Ken Morris, who is the managing director at OCAD, which is the Ontario College of Art and Design, which is pretty cool that he came to talk. And then finally, it was Carrick Felix, who is a former NBA player. So, I mean, just that lineup, those are some pretty big names that, you know, just a couple of students were able to get involved. Now, that's pretty amazing. Now, as I was saying before, TEDx, the X is very specific, is an event that is independent from TED itself. It allows organizers to kind of make their own TED events. And now anybody can apply for a license. It's free. You just got to make sure that you do it. And you too could have your own TED conference. So I think that's pretty incredible. Now tell me, Garrison, have you watched TED Talks at all?
I do occasionally.
Yeah.
I'm sure I've seen the big ones because there's some out there that have millions and millions of views on YouTube.
Oh, definitely.
I have definitely seen those ones. Mm-hmm. I think the one that stands out the most is a guy who is borderline a comedian, and he follows up on the spam email account. So he'll receive a spam email and then he'll spam them back.
I know
in his
that
own version.
Guy. Oh, that's great. Very I funny. Love him. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. For sure. I gotta say, as far as my personal favorites, I know many of you out there might have probably listened to the same one. Ken Robinson talking about education. I'm not sure exactly which one. Do schools kill creativity? Mm. I'm not sure if you've had a chance to watch that one. But that was one of the first TED Talks that I ever watched. And I just remember being absolutely in awe at this man who was able to speak so cleverly and aptly about such a passionate topic. And I remember watching it in the middle of high school, and I just connected so deeply to his words. But hopefully we've got our technical issues sorted out as we move on to the next segment of our news program today. We're going to be reflecting very quickly on the second officially released part of Safina Hussein's story on last year's Students' Union Board of Directors controversy. Now, for those of you who might not have tuned in or read the first part of the story, Safina Hussein is the editor-in-chief of the court, and she's been doing a bit of an expose on some allegations and some issues and some controversy that has been happening at the Students' Union, and specifically regarding their board of directors. Last year, there have been some allegations of sexism and some issues within the orchestrations, or not the orchestrations, organization of the board themselves. There were some issues last year with the former board, I believe. I believe how it works is there's an entirely new board each year, mm-hmm. but I could be wrong.
There's a new board elected, but I think you can run twice. You can run for a second.
I don't know if any of the board members last year are returning.
Mm-hmm. I know there was the difficulty this year was losing the secretary position, and that seems to be where it all starts. And that's where Safina starts with part two of her article.
Yeah.
Because there is two and three up online.
Yes.
So part two starts with the board losing the secretary and starts with the minutes.
Now, I do feel quite bad for that. It must be a very difficult position being the new secretary now, especially having to catch up on significant amounts of minutes. Like some of the board meetings have been 4-5 hours long, and those were the ones that were in the summer, which was around when the new secretary was hired. So having to catch up on 5 hours of written minutes, and I had the pleasure of being at one of the board meetings, and these men, they talk very fast. It is nothing against them. They talk very fast. So having to catch up on 5 hours of that much talking, I don't envy her in the slightest. Is it a her? I'm not sure. Okay, I don't envy them in the slightest. Sure, it's a very difficult position, but
I don't know why it would have gone unfilled for that long. Because Laurier is very old school.
Yes.
Maybe not very old in comparison to the oldest schools, but more than 100 years, close to 110, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And the board, the student board, is probably very old as well. Mm-hmm. And there should be a condition where those minutes should be recorded. There should be even if there isn't a secretary, there should be a second position. The vice or the president or somebody should be taking on that responsibility, because there is mentioned where they can't remember the different parts that happened 7 months ago, things that didn't get covered, and then it ends up being, how do they describe it? Well, some of the minutes weren't taken at all, and then there's also the inaudible comments.
Where it's almost like they need to have kind of like an understudy position for the secretary, because it's very important. If I know one of the biggest goals the board of director has this year is transparency and making sure that they maintain accountability.
That's lost if you don't have the minutes accessible to people that can't arrive at the meetings.
And that's unfortunate. And now I know the Students' Union does have Facebook Live videos for their board of directors meetings. They do have live Twitter updates, and they do have meeting minutes.
But the quality of that is also not the best. It's not followable.
Yeah. And in every situation. Especially if you have, like, a lot of people talking rather fast. Mm-hmm.
Or you don't have a very good internet connection.
Yeah, that's a big thing. Accessibility becomes an issue. Mm-hmm. And now this isn't to talk down on the Students' Union.
I think there's a lot of room for improvement here.
Yeah, no, I think any reasonable person can accept there's always room for improvement, right? And it's just unfortunate that there's been so many issues with minutes being inaudible or lost minutes or lost in translation, which is just unfortunate.
Are we going to get to the third part as well, where we discuss some of the behaviors of the private messaging? And that bothers me very much.
Yeah. If you want to talk about that, you go right ahead.
Well, I just think the whole concept of the board is based on a democracy, that sort of structure. Mm-hmm. And so there's voting processes and the Rogers rules, and the whole structure is very thought out and important to the board. And when there's statements that people are privately messaging each other through their devices, through social media, and saying, "Here, this is what I'm going to vote, and this is what you should vote," and influencing that decision, that is very clearly corruption. That is the corruption of a democratic process.
And now, I don't know the extent to which, if those were confirmed facts, if those were rumors or allegations, but nonetheless, the fact that having the opportunity to express that concern, I think it's something that's very important. Now, I don't know if it's been confirmed, if that was something that actually took place.
It's in a statement from a board member.
Yeah, it is in a statement from the board member. If you don't know, Safina got the chance to speak to Emily Rizkala and Claudia Wojnarowski, who are the two former directors on the board, and they so graciously sat down and expressed some of their frustrations, some of the issues that they discovered, and some of the things that the current Students' Union Board hopes to rectify this year. I don't believe there's any female representation on the board, but I'm entirely sure that's just a matter of coincidence.
I think, like, to add to my point, because I don't want to just be spewing opinion.
Yeah, no.
The fact is that there are two meetings over the summer, or 4 hours and 5 hours.
Long.
They were very long, ran very, very far late. And that just points to the disorganization that was going on. And I think if I can draw a parallel, people not communicating clearly and openly and part of the democratic process could lengthen that process. If people aren't vocalizing their ideas and standing on their own opinions, I think that could be a reason for how long it was taking.
Definitely. Now, as much as I would love to keep discussing parts 2 and 3 of the board of directors story, obviously you can read it online now. We are going to be transitioning into our next segment. So hopefully, if this works, again, for the people online, you're going to have to look it up yourself. Adam Savage's My Love Letter to Cosplay. We're going to be playing a little bit of a section from it, so you can get in the mind space of making things and being connected to things that you create and TED Talks and all that good stuff. So we will be back in just a couple minutes. And we're back. I'm not quite sure what might be going on with our technical issues. I apologize if there was some dead air. Obviously, this is something we're still figuring out, and it's quite unfortunate. But we are back. We are going to be talking about mental health and wellness. We're going to be talking about smoothies, a little bit of health. We're going to be talking about the Emmys, and then we're going to be going to another short little break. If you missed it, we were discussing the library makerspace, the space that has come to Laurier for people to create. We discussed a TED conference that came to WLU past weekend, I believe, to discuss innovation. We also reflected a little bit on parts 2 and 3, the board of directors story that is currently in circulation. And now we're going to be talking mental health and wellness. For those of you who do not know, it's no surprise to students that mental health has become a greater priority for schools. Many students are currently or have previously experienced issues, especially regarding not knowing how to deal with mental health and emergency situations when they occur, such as panic attacks and whatnot. And to help combat this, U of W has been doing some experimentation in the form of panic, anxiety, and stress kits to deliver to first-year students to help them kind of overcome some of the symptoms that are associated with panic, anxiety, and stress. And they come with these little pass kits, as they're called, or were distributed to first-year students. They come with a series of handy distractions that can help overcome these feelings. This includes a nice squeezable little stress ball, some earplugs, sleeping mask, pack of gum, as well as a deck of 25 flashcards that have some helpful advice and some comments from some of the teachers and faculty on how to overcome some of these feelings. Each kit was also customized with a little insert with some information about on-campus faculty-specific supports, so counseling, peer support services at UW. These kits, this is your first time hearing about them, you don't know when exactly all this started. It originally circulated back in 2015, created by one Tina Chan, who is currently a Master's of Science candidate in the School of Public and Health Systems at UW. So when she made this, she was just a student. She never anticipated this kind of reaction to this product. But she was quoted a little while ago as saying, like many students, I experienced a lot of stress during my first couple of years of university. I saw a lot of my peers drop out of school altogether because of stress. That's something I think just shouldn't happen. If you have the ability and opportunity to be in higher education, stress should not be a barrier. There are many mental health supports for students in universities, but there are also a lot of barriers. And I have to completely agree. It was very eloquently worded by her. Now, the organization that she has set up, PASS, it has three main goals that these kits try to combat. So the first is improving access to evidence-based support tools. I know there's a lot of people who scoff at things that can help treat mental health symptoms because they don't really see the evidence behind it. But Chan, in her work, has dedicated herself to finding stuff that is backed by research, that is backed by substantial evidence and real science that can help combat these sort of issues.
If you were to receive one of these packages, how effective do you think they would be for your own life?
For my own life? I gotta say, I think they would be rather effective to a certain extent, because we have to remember ultimately what the goal of these kits are. I don't think they solve any problems.
Mm-hmm.
Like the title suggests, they are first aid kits. So they're like helpful band-aids.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to make it go away. But for those of us who don't exactly know how to deal with some of these issues, it helps to provide a little distraction, something that gets your mind off it. Because I know one of the biggest things, at least when I'm experiencing anxiety stress, is I really tend to overthink situations. I really tend to just get myself too far in my head, and I just tunnel vision on a problem, especially if it's a minute problem.
Mm-hmm. So the information that they provide is very useful there.
It's good. Yeah. So instead of going on my phone trying to distract myself, you need to read a little flashcard. You read some nice words from one of the professors, someone who might have been through this, knows how to get through it, knows you're going to be okay.
Maybe there's a website that you can visit.
Maybe there's a website you can visit. About. Yeah.
Yep.
And maybe you'll see one of the flashcards that says, hey, if you're still experiencing these problems, go talk to this person. You might be able to help, you know.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I thought it was missing, I know for myself, and I'm a big believer in it, I'm pretty sure it's scientifically proven. Hopefully you can back me up on this. The sensory, in particular, the smells, the olfactory glands, lavender and jasmine, those scents and essential oils and things like that are, at least in my own life, very effective at helping me de-stress and reduce anxiety and, just manage my emotions that way. I think if they had little packages, that even if you just open the bag to use the stress ball, maybe the bag has that scent and something like that,
or
something
maybe the stress ball has a little bit of the scent in it,
because I think that's more of the if we were to compare it to a first aid does sometimes come with information, and these packages do come with information, and that's great, but a first aid, you usually go in for a practical fix for an immediate situation, and I think the earplugs are probably a good idea as well, and maybe the sleep mask, but I think
like the idea of the gum. Actually, I like the gum because having something to chew on, having your body physically doing something, I know is known to reduce stress because it physically takes your body out of one action and puts its energy into another, which I think is a great idea. I tend to chew gum or just chew anything really when I'm stressed. So instead of like grinding your teeth, if you're one of those people, you just chew on some gum and that kind of alleviates that symptom, which I think is great. Now, I know Laurier in the past did purchase some of these pass kits. So my question then is, I wonder what happened, because I don't believe that's something they're doing anymore.
Laurier, yeah, no, I haven't seen them around our
campus.
Now,
they focus more on programs that can help students alleviate those kind of issues. I know they've partnered with the Delton Glebe Center, the Delton Glebe Counseling Center, and they do stuff like therapy dog sessions, which I think is fantastic.
I know the Wellness Center is always very busy, so that's very extremely good to expand for that. Yeah,
and I know they're working on a psychoeducation program so that people can kind of find some solutions and tips to help them deal with it long term. But I think these kits are a good step to help people who otherwise don't know how to deal with it. Now, we had the chance to speak with Karen Ostrander, who is the director of the Student Wellness Center at WOU, and she kind of, she had some rather interesting thoughts on the efficacy of the pass kits. She told us that years and years ago, they used to try and put together the same kind of orientation kit with information and these sorts of things like stress balls with their contact information on it, and they were found they were just so inundated with information and just hit in the face with so much, it was really hard for them to know and be able to effectively judge how much of that stuff got through and how much of it was just kind of thrown in the bags or thrown in the side of the rooms and just kind of forgotten about. And then, I mean, it's not really effective at all. So instead, as pretty clear to see, she's been focusing on more of the foundation that they've been working on, integrating health and wellness into kind of one sector and encouraging these programs. Now, some interesting statistics about health and wellness. In the spring of 2016, the American College Health Association's National College Health Assessment, big title, but it's real simple. They did a report on some of the factors that impacted students and their levels of depression and whatnot and things that impacted their academic performance. Now, these are some interesting numbers. It was a self-reported assessment. 43% reported stress. And these are obviously, these are vague terminologies, but it helps give you kind of an oversight of how many people are kind of dealing with these issues. 43 reported stress, 33 reported anxiety, 22% reported depression, and 7% reported death of a family member. So if you think of what's impacting academic performance, that's a lot of people that are experiencing these kinds of issues. And I think even if the pass kits don't necessarily have a long-term solution, they do provide maybe something, anything that might kind of overcome these feelings.
It's the incentive of the university that I'm impressed by. I mean, last week we talked about the hackathon, and then we also highlighted how a speaker there mentioned healthy working practices. Yeah. And UW needs that because of the history and the conflictuous past, I guess you could say, the troublesome problems that they have there with mental health.
Yeah.
And so like this new direction and this focus on mental health is probably the thing I'm most excited about. Doesn't matter how practical or impractical this is, it's the direction.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to go back to what you said. It's that push. It's that focus that they're having on the mental health and wellness, which I think is so important. They're not going to be able to solve your problems. They're not going to be able to fix everything. But if they push, if they put out the resource, if they put out and tell you about people that can help.
And change the atmosphere.
And change the atmosphere, change the environment. I think that's the most important fundamental aspect that, I mean, good on UW. If they've been having issues with that in the past, it really shows that you're trying to push. Now, this same survey, before we move on to our next segment, 89% of students experienced feelings of being overwhelmed by all that they had to do. 88% felt exhausted, but not from physical activities. 68% felt very lonely, and 61% experienced feelings that things were hopeless. Now, these are self-reported things that students were experiencing in the past 12 months. So,
what percentage was that of hopeless?
Hopelessness? That was 61% of individuals who were taking this survey at some point in the past 12 months or repeatedly experienced feelings of things being entirely hopeless. So,
that's a huge problem.
Yeah, for individuals our age, those are some startling numbers that even if it is a couple of times, people are experiencing some very troubling emotions. Now, what those implications might have, we will leave you up to decide because we have to keep going on with our news show. We're going to be moving now into discussing the best smoothie options in KW. So in the Arts and Life section of the Cord this week, one of the writers went over some of the best smoothie spots that you can get in the city and offered some suggestions, kind of ranked them. First was Booster Juice, the Mango Hurricane. Now I can attest.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, it's good. Ooh, mangoes, strawberries, guava, passion fruit, peach, and yogurt. All blended up. I don't know how Booster Juice does it, man. But they blend liquid cocaine. Oh, god dang. It's so good. And
it's so good.
It's a little bit pricey.
It tastes good. Yeah. It's good for you. They have energy. Mm. They have caffeine. Mm-hmm. They have ginseng. They have protein.
You can get anything you want.
They are the top of the line. Oh,
yeah. They are top of the... Yeah, top of the top. They're a health and wellness juggernaut for smoothies. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's absolutely delicious.
I mean, I'm
looking
on the article here, and they are probably double the price of everybody else.
Yeah.
But I think it's worth it.
You get what you pay for, though. Oh, it's so good. I mean, I'm a big fan of some of the other ones. Yoginfruz, I've always been a big fan of Yoginfruz. Tropical Storm recommends no-fat frozen yogurt, mango, pineapple, banana, orange. Ooh. Very good. Always love Yoginfruz, but Booster Juice, they just, I don't know what they do. They go
speaking of coping mechanisms, these smoothies.
Yeah, speaking of coping mechanisms, who of us has not had a stressful day and they say, you know, dang it, I want a smoothie.
I earned this. A smoothie is like a dessert and just a regular drink.
It's great. It's like a treat and something good for you all in one. And it leaves you feeling so good. I don't know if you're someone who makes a lot of their own smoothies, but you try making your own smoothies. It's just not the same thing. No. I mean, they're good. They definitely taste good, but it's just not the same.
This is a wild... Should I digress this far? Just nod or...
Oh, please. Digress away.
Oh, dear. Okay, so in Breaking Bad... they have their cook and they have to set up this whole apparatus. And that's the only way for it to be efficient.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Booster Juice is quite.
I agree.
Because I don't want to compare Booster Juice to a meth lab, but...
They're cooking up the same stuff. You know it.
I'm not going to make it at home. I don't have all the apparatus for that. No. I don't have a blender. I'm not going to keep the fruit.
No.
You got to have this nice big setup. Mm-hmm. And they got it.
Yeah.
And that's where I go to get my fix of
Booster
smoothies.
Juice is like when they have that big... efficient setup in the basement
of the laundromat.
Of the laundromat.
Yeah.
And what we do is home at home is like them cooking meth in an RV. It's just terrible. I mean, you get it and you get through it and you get the end product, but it's not the same.
I'm glad that digression was a good analogy.
No, it was good.
Okay.
As far as the rest of them, she recommends McDonald's strawberry mango pineapple smoothie. Very good. I've tried it. It's worth, I believe it's one of the cheaper options available, but you know what? It's pretty solid. Freshy, I know their products tend to be a little bit more expensive, but they focus a lot more on the wellness side. The one recommended is the recovery smoothie. So mango, turmeric. Can't stand turmeric. I don't know how people can take a turmeric shot. Mm. I know you can get those. Disgusting. Yeah. Pineapple, honey, banana, coconut milk. That sounds very good. Now, one of the ones highlighted is one that you might not know too much about, the Golden Mean Health and Wellness Shop, downtown Kitchener. They have a self-defense smoothie. Comes with mango, pineapple, orange juice, lemon juice, ginger, MCT oil, cayenne pepper, very interesting, bee pollen, and agave. Now, it's a very interesting combination of ingredients, but it tastes really good.
Okay.
And it is fantastic for your immune system because it's all stuff that kind of gets it kicked up. Now, we've talked enough about smoothies. We got to get going, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. We're going into our next story. We're talking a little bit about the Emmys this year.
Okay. Well, they... I forgot they existed.
No, that's pretty much its own sentence. They. Mm-hmm. Who? I mean, I until it happened, I entirely forgot that the Emmys existed.
Every year, it's something I'm told happened.
Long gone are the days of Emmy, you know, viewing parties. I mean, you hear all about Oscar viewing parties, but no more Emmy viewing parties.
Now, it's each, like, there's the Grammys, the Emmys, and the Oscars.
And the Tonys. Everybody forgets about the Tonys.
Yeah, well, it's because they're all targeted at a different demographic,
they are,
I think.
They are.
And I think the Emmys is probably the oldest demographic.
Mm-hmm. Now, for those of you who might have missed it, like us, last week the 70th Primetime Emmy Awards aired. Now, the fact that it was its 70th anniversary is incredible enough in itself.
Congratulations.
But, like, the fact that I don't think anybody I know knew about it until it was over, I can't help but feel it wasn't advertised well enough.
Good luck for 100.
Yeah. Now, this year's Emmys, for those of you who do not know, were the least watched in its entire history, garnering only 10.2 million U.S. viewers. Now, that sounds like a lot, but when you compare it to something like the Oscars, who this year got 26.5 million, it's kind of hemorrhaging for viewers. Even the ratings among its key demographic, adults aged 18 to 49, dropped 4%. So it's a 10% drop in viewership, 4% drop in ratings, and it's the lowest it's been in its history. So that's kind of upsetting. And I don't want to crap on the host this year, because I know they did their best. Mm-hmm. I listened to some clips.
It was wasn't it? It was a strange performance.
Yeah, it was definitely controversial.
Right.
Their introduction, for those of you who do not know, the Emmys this year were co-hosted by Michael Che and Colin Jost, who are the co-head writers and anchors on SNL's Weekend Update. Very talented comedians. They do a great job. But they're not what I would call A-list celebrities. I know two really heavy-hitting talk show hosts for stuff like the Emmys and the Oscars. I know Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. Mm-hmm. They're always knockouts. They always do great.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like with the Emmys this year, they just got people that were kind of like, you know,
mm-hmm.
eh.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I think C-list.
C-list, I think, is accurate. Yep. I mean, I don't think they're guys that you would know about unless you knew a lot about SNL.
Yeah, unless you...
Yeah.
I mean, how many of us as students pay for a cable package?
Yeah.
I was actually asked in my communication course, and I think one person put up their hand.
Yeah.
Now, classroom of 300.
Because we got to keep going, we're just going to talk a little bit about what the entirety of the Emmys was focused around. So this year, they were touching on topics like Me Too and Time's Up, very relevant, culturally important things. They were talking a little bit about Nazis, racism, and the issue of racial diversity in television. Now, because the show's 70th anniversary aired, they did really focus on how much the awards and television themselves have changed in 70 years. And it is pretty incredible to see the shift towards promoting, you know, racial diversity and varied content in mainstream media because of how difficult it still is and how difficult it was. And some of the significant winners this year, if you don't know, outstanding comedy series, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, hosted by Amazon. The outstanding drama series, obviously, HBO's Game of Thrones did fantastic, as it always does. For talk series, outstanding talk series, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver on HBO won. Outstanding variety sketch series, SNL, obviously, on NBC. They did fantastic. Outstanding reality competition program, RuPaul's Drag Race. I'm personally a huge fan, so I'm very glad to see that RuPaul's Drag Race won. It beat out The Amazing Race, Project Runway, Top Chef, and The Voice, so good for them.
Oh.
Outstanding lead actor in a comedy series, Bill Hader as Barry on Barry. Outstanding lead actress in a comedy series, Rachel Brosnahan as Miriam in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Outstanding lead actor in a drama series, Matthew Rhys as Philip Jennings on The Americans. And outstanding lead actress in a drama series, Claire Foy as Queen Elizabeth II on The Crown. So congratulations to them for winning. And then just finally, I wanted to highlight outstanding supporting actor in a drama series, Peter Dinklage. Is Tyrion Lannister. Congratulations, my man. So we're running out of time, so we really got to get moving on to the next segment. We're moving into sports. It's been a bit of a difficult week. Second football loss in a row for
Laurier
Golden Hawks.
It's
poor one out for our boys.
The gut punch is that it's a difference of 3 points.
It's a difference of three
in
points.
In two games, they were extremely close.
They lost last week to the Waterloo Warriors, 34-32. They lost primarily in the second half. This week, they lost 20-21. So 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
And they were 9 points ahead this week against McMaster going into the second half of the game. So really unfortunate to see that. I'm sure they gave their all.
Mm-hmm. Coach Fald was quoted to say that it was the offense that did not deliver, that the defense was pulling their weight.
Yeah.
And I think it points to the offense that one of the kicks, there was a missed kick by Nathan Mesher, and it was 43 yards, which is almost half the field. The 50 yards is in the middle, right?
Yep.
So that's a very long kick, especially for university sports. So they couldn't get closer, that they couldn't drive farther, deliver a little bit more that way is quite concerning. And I think it's important to highlight this story. And I did a little move to you because I wanted to come to this story because homecoming this weekend is the big game against Guelph.
Big one.
It should be really good. I don't want to be down on Guelph, but Laurier has a very good football team. And this should be an opportunity for them to really flex their muscles. They'll have lots of fans in the stands. It'll be loud.
Yes.
I encourage people to go and to watch because this should be a really big game. It's the moment where they're going to come out of the slump. Mm-hmm. It's the moment where they're going to need as much cheering as possible. Yeah. And it is very exciting.
Homecoming is one of the biggest events of the year next to All Week, I would say.
Mm-hmm. But so. even OUA football is way more exciting than people may assume it is.
Yeah, no, for sure. Now, 2-for-2. Our boys are doing great. Let's hope they come out of this slump against the Guelph Griffins for next Saturday's homecoming game. I encourage you all to go out. believe tickets are still on sale for that, so get them while they're hot. And I'm sure the other thing, the Cord got to talk to Laurie's mascot, Midas, as well. Now, I know when it comes to sports, you don't tend to think about the person behind the mask, but that's why they wanted to kind of get more of a...
profile.
Yeah, profile. Personal touch on the man behind the beak. So, like, they asked stuff why they decide to become a mascot. Midas told them that he's always been a dancer. He's always liked performing for people. And it was a great opportunity to do that and wear a Laurie jersey and represent the school, which I think is fantastic.
And notice you had to say Midas because we didn't get to know his name.
No.
And he is does the not mascot. Get to share that. Yeah.
No, he doesn't.
So that is a very unique position.
It is.
In Laurier's faculty, but in Laurier's staff that... I wonder, can this guy tell his parents that he's the mascot? Is this a secret that he's bound to? Is this like the equivalent of the Secret Service of Laurier?
It's great.
Just joking, but yeah.
Well, let's hope he has trustworthy parents then, or ones that don't like to brag.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. So we're really going to be looking to him and his enthusiasm to help break the Golden Hawks out of their slump. So good luck to you, Midas. Get our boys pumped up and let's bring home the victory. I appreciate you guys tuning in to the Radio Laurier News Show through our technical difficulties and our little bumps along the road, but we're still learning, we're still growing just like you guys are. So keep up the health and wellness, keep your bodies and your souls and your minds rejuvenated.
Good luck with the grind.
Good luck with the grind and good luck to our boys. As always, if you guys have any comments, questions, concerns, if you like us, if you hate us, if you got anything you can recommend, if you got anything that you really didn't like, make sure you drop us a line on Facebook, on Twitter, add us, do whatever you want, tag us. We'd love to hear your feedback about our show. But until next time, we hope you guys have a good one. Enjoy the grind. And up next is the Branford wrap-up. So have yourselves a good night and a good weekend and enjoy homecoming. Oh, and don't forget, make sure on October 22nd, we're going to be talking about it. Municipal elections coming up, very important. We're going to be talking next week a little about the candidates and some of the Ward 7 candidates. So until then, tune in and have a good weekend. Enjoy the grind, guys.